are no typical murderers. Some plan their crimes meticulously, while others kill on impulse.
It's Jason Voorhees.
Fred Krueger, Mother. Fred Krueger!
It is time, Michael.
When there is no more room in hell.
Well, a boy's best friend is his mother.
The dead.
What's your favorite scary movie?
We'll walk the earth.
I'm eternal, child. I am the eater of...
No tears, please. It's a waste of good suffering.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
The boogeyman is real.
Here's Johnny.
The blackest eyes.
Every evening.
The devil's eyes.
Don't fall asleep.
Scarlet Death Curse.
Good evening and welcome to Death Curse Radio. I'm your producer and host, Nathan Barker, and thanks for tuning in. Now, joining me tonight, and who you can expect to hear, are co-hosts Kent Mullins.
Hey.
Ben DiAtley.
Hey, what's up, man?
And Jesse Gilbert.
Hey, what's going on?
Now, tonight is episode number one for Death Curse Radio, so we are basically just going to start off by discussing some of the current projects and stuff that us hosts and your squad have going on, and kind of go over what you can expect to hear moving forward with the show, some of the topics and people that we might have on. Now, just to give everyone a rundown on how this show began, since it has sort of been in the works for, shit, I think about a year now, but some of the listeners may know me from the Return to Camp Blood Friday the 13th podcast that I also produce and host, which is currently the only all-Friday show out there that I'm aware of at the moment that is strictly Friday the 13th. If you want to check that out at campbloodpodcast.com. So anyways, Death Curse Radio is basically a brother or sister show to Return to Camp Blood. And I attend a lot of horror conventions and have made many, many friends and connections in the horror genre over the years. I've been going to conventions for a long time. So one of my guys on Return to Camp Blood a while back was like, hey, you should start a general horror show and expand outside of Friday. Since I'm just a huge horror fan in general, Friday's my favorite, of course, but they're like, all this shit that you do, you ought to just start another show. That way sky's the limit and you won't be limited to just Friday. And of course I had the means to do it since I was producing and hosting and editing the other show. So I thought, why the hell not? So then from that point, it was basically, I just had to put together a team and go from there. So the logo and the name came from a side business that I had called Death Curse Designs, where I offered a few versions of Camp Crystal Lake signs, and it had the perfect name. And one of the guys from Return to Camp Blood actually came up with the idea one day when I was like, I don't even know what the fuck to even call it. So many different name combinations out there, you know? And he was like, hey, why don't you call it Death Curse Radio? And boom, there it was. So I was like, perfect. So it just made sense. And then, of course, just secured the website and just had it sitting there kind of stagnant because I really didn't know what to do with it. I didn't have a team together. So basically kind of just sat for the last, basically for the last year. And then it was now on to the team. So Kent and I, we became friends through the Friday the 13th community, and I had him on an episode, Community Spotlight, for Return to Camp Blood last year. And we met up at a few conventions, got to hang out, drink some beers and talk and just shoot the shit. And then later on, he got to talking about being involved in a non-horror podcast. And we just were talking, and he mentioned he wanted to do a general horror show. And I was like, hey, I'm actually about to start one, and he wanted on board. So I was like, all right, you know, so I brought the hillbilly on board. So then on to Jesse. Jesse had me as a guest on another show he has called Twisted Geekdom that he can give you the rundown on later for anybody that wants to check out that show. And we were just chopping it up and talking about doing a general show, and he said he was interested. So I brought him on. We got to meet up at a convention last year. And then, of course, finally, Ben and I got connected through my involvement as being Jason Voorhees for the First Jason actor Ari Lehman and his band First Jason. I was Jason in three music videos, two of which Ben shot, and I travel around with the band and wear the costume while the band plays, takes pictures with fans, roams around. Some of you might have seen me at a show or seen me in pictures. There's tons of them with me and Ari floating around out there on social media. And Ben, he has the Friday the 13th Network YouTube channel that he can talk about in a bit. So now Ben and I, we've went to a lot of conventions and tons of First Jason appearances. Ben was a fan of the band and was helping with some promo stuff. And we just kind of got linked up there by me seeing him at shows. And then come to find out, Ben and I live fairly close together. So We started going to conventions together and decided to collaborate his show with my show and see what we could do with that. And then he's also a big horror fan. So I told him about this show that I had coming up, and he asked him if he wanted to be on board and we could do some YouTube stuff, which we'll talk about that later. And Ben was like, hell yeah. So not just will you have these podcasts to listen to here at Death Curse Radio, but we will also be doing some live stuff at conventions and some other locations. So be on the lookout for that coming up on YouTube, probably sometime this spring or summer when convention season rolls around and we start seeing more people regularly. So yeah, so that's sort of a briefing on how this came together so far. So now let's just talk about what got us into the horror world in general. I know all you guys obviously have been fans, you know, for a while now. So Kent, I know you got your business stuff, but before you get into that and let the listeners know what you're involved with there, just basically what got you into to horror in general?
I remember when I was about probably 4 or 5 years old, my stepfather was a police officer and he worked late shifts. So a lot of times it meant me and my brother and my mom were there alone. And my mom watched a lot of horror movies. And I distinctly remember one night she had put me and my brother to bed. And she was in the living room watching a movie called The Changeling, starring George C. Scott. It was a ghost flick. And what I did is, up until that point, I had only been exposed to things like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and all that kind of stuff. But Back to the Future, I loved. But I remember kind of shimmying my way down the first 3 or 4 steps and perching myself on the steps and watching as much of The Changeling as I could behind my mother's back. And there's a specific scene in that movie where I don't know if you guys have seen the movie. It's a ghost flick about this crippled little boy who drowns and then haunts George C. Scott's character. But there was a scene where one of the characters wakes up in the middle of the night and walks out into this room, and the ghost boy is trying to come up through the floor. And I remember that gave me nightmares for weeks, and it scared the hell out of me, but I couldn't tell my mom why I was afraid, because she hadn't known that I'd watched that movie. But for some reason, I loved the feeling that it gave me. I loved how I felt watching that horror movie was nothing like watching anything that I had been exposed to previously. And then maybe a few months later, I did the exact same thing with The Shining. She was watching The Shining, and I remember just hanging out, like hovering on that top couple of stairs and bending my head down just to where I could see down into the living room and watching The Shining behind mom's back the whole time, and occasionally having to duck up and hide whenever she would get up to do whatever. And I loved it. I loved the suspense and I loved the jump scares at the time. And I loved everything about it. And, as I got older, like maybe 8 or 9 years old, we only had a few VHSs that I would watch over and over and over again. And by this time, my mom had kind of succumbed to the fact that I loved these horror movies. And she wasn't really super strict on me in terms of what I was exposed to anymore. And two of the movies that we had was Friday the 13th Part 5 and Teen Wolf. And I would say that this is what started my obsession, first off, with makeup and special effects and appliances and masks and stuff, but that wouldn't, you know, come to a head until many, many years later. But, and then not long after that, I remember watching Pet Sematary, and that movie really cemented everything. And I became really obsessed with Pet Sematary. I've probably seen that movie 10 million times, and I've read the book, and I just loved that movie so much. And it's still to this day, it means a lot to me. I think it's almost perfect. And then that led to things later, you know, Return of the Living Dead Part 2. I love that. That one has a lot of nostalgia for me. And And fast forward, and now I'm 31 years old, and it's becoming a borderline obsession.
Obsession.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we all can relate there. So being 31, obviously you weren't like me. You know, I was born in the early 80s, so I was a young kid being scared to death of Freddy Krueger and Michael Myers, Jason Voorhees and shit. So it sounds like you were, you know, you're a little bit younger, so you didn't have the traditional 80s slashers that were that people were watching regularly at that time.
Not as they were coming out. No, I was exposed to them, you know, later on VHS and things like that.
Yeah, so obviously that led to I want to hear you talk a little bit. Well, I know about it, but for the viewers, you can explain to them about how that passion led to Black Hat Studios and some of the things that you have going on today.
Black Hat Studios started. Actually, what kicked it all off was, and I think I talk about this on your other podcast, but I was getting out of the Marine Corps in 2014, and my platoon had left for training, and because I was waiting for my contract to end, I was kind of left alone back in the barracks, like almost like The Shining. It was this huge barracks out in the middle of the woods, and I was completely alone. And about that time, the show Face Off was getting big, and I was just kind of sitting around there, you know, alone and bored. And I thought, shit, I'm gonna try to learn this special effects thing. And went to Hobby Lobby and bought a whole bunch of things and tried to learn what I could on YouTube. And to make a really long story short, got really bad at it really quick. And then I got out and learned a thing or two and signed up for the Stan Winston School online and took some of those classes there and picked up things from other artists along the way. And I like to think that I've gotten pretty good at it over the years, but it certainly did not start out that way.
So self-taught, basically.
Yes. Yes, sir. And now I make things. I started out with latex masks. And that has slowly blossomed into silicone masks, which is what I'm, I guess, I'll release it right now, the information. I am trying to currently transition to silicone masks as opposed to latex masks. I'm trying to shed that latex persona.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, that's now, what's going on right now.
Speaking of masks, all four of us happen to be at Horror Hound Columbus back in November, so just a few months ago. And I do have to say that for any of you that were there and you got the Friday the 13th Part 5 Jason Tom Morga photo op, Kent actually made the hood that Tom Morga wore for that photo op. So not only is he self-taught, but that speaks volumes. So any of you that have the dreams or aspirations and are artistic and want to do that, you can start from scratch like Kent did and then actually make something that a Jason actor actually wore. Kent's walking proof of that.
Yeah, that was a big deal for me. It was, I like to say that I don't have tear ducts, even though I do, but if I were capable of crying, I'm not because I'm so masculine, but if I were capable of crying, I would have cried right there.
That oh, of course. Yeah. And I seen plenty of the pictures and everybody had great things to say, and I did the photo op myself, and Tom looked awesome. And to my understanding, you're actually offering those out of the same mold to the general public, right?
That is correct. Yeah, I've actually I've sold quite a. It's doing really well, and that is that's actually probably what I'm selling more of than anything at the moment. Those Part 5 hoods, they got a really good reception.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard a lot of good things about them, and you did a great job. I seen it in person, and it looked awesome. If I were in the market for a Part 5 hood right now, you'd be my first call. I know there's not a ton of people out there that are making the 5s, but this is definitely a great-looking one. If anybody out there cosplaying a Part 5, I would highly recommend it. I mean, Tom Morga approved. You can't do any better right now. So I've seen some of your other products last fall when we were at Scarefest. You had everything on the table there. And I know CJ Graham actually took one home with him, and which I have seen in other pictures that he's posted. And I think he's using that one for a life size that he had built. So CJ Graham owns one of your products, so that's also pretty cool. So give everybody a rundown of what you're currently offering.
Actually, as it stands, over the past 2 weeks, I've sold off a lot of my molds. Because like I said, I'm trying to start, rebrand. Maybe I'm not going to give up latex entirely. I'm still going to do latex, but I'm wanting to kind of transition more into the silicone community. But right now, the only things that I offer latex wise, I have the Part 5 and I do a Chatterer from Hellraiser. And let's see, what else do I've got? The Part 3 Jason. I've got, oh man, you put me on the spot. I can't. I've got the Part 6 Jason. And I got a few other little things, latex wise, but currently what I'm sculpting at the moment is a silicone. And to my knowledge, this has never been done, but I'm sculpting a full Part 8 silicone mask. That's what's going on right now in the shop.
The full face version, not the face cut out.
It's not going to be a hood.
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody else offering one that I'm aware of right now. So that's awesome. I think that'll get a good buzz generated in the Friday community.
And I'm really, I'm really focusing hard on it. And after I get it finished, I've got a real good buddy that has the license to Predator, and he makes the full Predator suits. And I've done a lot of work for him in the past, and I'm going to pass it off to him and let him mess around with it, and hopefully between the two of us we can almost perfect it, hopefully. And I'm gonna take my time on it, and I really want to nail it, because Part 8 gets a lot of criticism, but it's honestly one of my favorite Friday the 13th movies.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly got its following. I mean, to each their own. When you have that many films, there's going to be some that you didn't necessarily care for, but yeah, that's awesome that you're working on that. And of course, fucking Predator, that's a great film, and those suits are awesome. I've seen different reproductions of them at various conventions, and those are always a cool costume to see in person. So that's awesome. But how can the listeners, if they want to check out your shit, where do they go?
You can go to Black Hat Studios on Facebook. Just type that in and you'll see my little logo and picture pop up there. And if you found the page where CJ Graham is standing in front of a bunch of masks with his arms wide and a smile on his face, that's me. He was kind enough to give me a little promotion there about 2 years ago in Lexington. So that's me, and you can message me on Facebook, and I'm a fast replier. So
yeah, I remember that picture, because there's one of me and you and him standing at your table too, if I recall correctly. So
yeah,
that was a good show. Yep, absolutely. That was a good show. That's another one to be on the lookout for coming up. I know it's a ways off, but later on this fall, Scarefest in Lexington, Kentucky. It's a great show, great venue. So, all right. Now, Jesse. Jesse, I mentioned his other show that he co-hosts on, the Twisted Geekdom podcast. Tell us a little bit about what got you going into the horror genre, like Kent did, just in general, what got you started, and then tell us a little bit about Twisted Geekdom and some of your other projects.
Well, I got into horror, like, officially when I was about, I'd say, 4, almost 5. My mom did special effects for a lot of independent productions here in Ohio, and it all started because I was with her that day. She couldn't get a babysitter. My brother and sister were, I don't even know where, so she had to rush and take me on set. And I got to see a lot of, her creating the blood at home, so I knew that was a thing. But I got to see a lot of her, like, wound work and things like that. And at first I was like, Mom, what are you doing? It confused the crap out of me, so she sat down and explained it to me. And for the period of the rest of the film production, which was about 6 months, every time she needed to be on set, she took me. And then eventually my brother, my sister never really cared about it. And I was just so enthralled with the whole thing. Then, I actually got to see the filming days where my mom's work was, on screen. I got to meet the actors and take pictures and do all this cool stuff. And by the time I was about, not quite 6, but close to it, she decided to let me start watching the completed films, which then led into actual more mainstream stuff. it sort of started a lot with my first passion, which is old school Universal monster movies. Frankenstein, werewolf, the mummy, Dracula. I just got sucked into monsters. And then, of course, she had to introduce me to Texas Chainsaw. Now, I was born in, also in the early 80s, so I was seeing a lot of this stuff well after it was out. But I specifically remember seeing Leatherface when I was 6 and rooting for him the entire movie because my mom had just done a movie 5 months before that involved a chainsaw killer, and it just enthralled the crap out of me. That led into me writing and releasing horror novels, working for, you know, all sorts of different productions. But I would say horror has probably been my entire life since that age. Everything I've done has revolved around horror in some way.
Now, you mentioned the writing and whatnot. Tell us a little bit about that. I mean, that's a pretty wide open gate there. So where can people check out your work?
You can actually check me out under Raz T. Slasher on Amazon. All my books are there. I just signed a new publishing company contract with Stitch Smile Productions, so they're going to be re-releasing all my work here soon. I'll probably be at some conventions. I'll let you guys know about that, promoting the books. But yeah, I mean, I got started writing early, young too, and then about 4 years ago, got my first professional deal, and I've just been pretty much writing novels and screenplays since then.
Nice. So writing, and obviously your other show, Twisted Geekdom. Tell people a little bit about that. I was actually a guest on that a while back. I know you kind of do not just horror, but some other stuff too, but it's just kind of a general show that people might want to check out.
Yeah. So it'll be 4 years this year in May that we've been running the show. It started off because my brother and I, we lived in different states. We wanted to find something to do together, and he bugged me for about 6 months about this podcast because he started getting into like Hollywood Babylon and a lot of the Kevin Smith podcasts. I had done a lot of radio show work growing up, worked for a lot of different industries for that, and he finally convinced me to do it. And it started out as this just us talking about old times, bullshitting with each other, and once in a while a guest, to now we do all genres, all forms and mediums of art, film, music, authors, you name it, we do it. And there's been a lot of incarnations of the show over the last 4 years. There's been name changes. You know, we just went through a big format change, thankfully, that we needed to shorten the show. It's really just a catch-all of a lot of stuff. And then usually once in a while, we will invite people to a massive game of Cards Against Humanity for the show as well, just to kind of break up the monotony of having guests every week.
Nice. And now where can people listen to that at?
Right now, you can check us out on Podbean or iTunes.
There you go. Now, if you want to check out just a general show and not just horror-related stuff, check them out. There's a lot of good content on there, all kinds of good stuff. Like I said, they don't just do horror. They do a wide variety, so you never know what you're going to hear coming out of that show. But good group of people over there. I've been on some episodes, and definitely check them out if you're looking for something different. So, all right, Benjamin, now I know you're a big-ass Friday the 13th fan. You know what we've been through. You know the talks we've had, so I know you're obviously fans of other autographs from other people outside of the Friday community. So what got you started, brother?
Well, as far back as I can remember, I mean, I've been a horror fan. I've always been a big fan of art. So one of my just happiest memories of childhood was going to the video store, all those VHS, all that awesome cover art, you know, and of course, it was before YouTube, so, you know, you judged a movie by the cover art or, you know, what crazy pictures. Usually had nothing to do with the movie itself, but that was always a fun time. And I grew up with an older brother. I was lucky enough to have an older brother who would stay up late, you know, watching, you know, Tales from the Crypt and just, you know, any horror movies like that. And I always remember sneaking off and catching little glimpses and things. So I've always been into the horror, and I know it's kind of crazy. I'm a little younger than you guys, but when I was in like grade school, I remember Goosebump books and Fear Street and all that stuff. So I was always into that too at a young age. And as I got older, it just, you know, VHS, and then of course DVD came out, and that was just amazing. So I just collect everything, every movie. Definitely slashers were always my favorite. Of course, you know, close to Friday 13th, but Halloween 2, I think, was probably the film that made me want to make films, I would say. And that's always been my obsession ever since a young age, was storytelling, making films. I've always done like stop-go animation, claymation. I used to make flip books, draw comics, anything like that to tell a story. And horror was always a way to get that out. I don't know. But always kind of intrigued by the darker side of things, I'd say.
Well, to backtrack just a little bit, so you just mentioned the cover art in the video stores, okay? So I'm going to have to poke you a little bit here just because you know me. So Ben's favorite Friday the 13th is Jason Goes to Hell. So is that because of the cover art, or is that, that's probably what attracted you, because that's a badass poster, the bright colors, you know, the chrome skull. Is that what attracted you to first watch that movie, or were you already a Friday fan before that?
Probably a little bit of both. You know, I think I remember, you know, seeing Jason in the barn and all of that, you know, Ari popping out of the water at the end. But yeah, definitely the case, the flames, it's like the silver, you know, mask. And I think the VHS actually even pops out. It's, you know, you can feel it. So yeah, definitely. I think that just sucks you right in, the cover art.
Yeah, I just, you know, I had to bust your balls a little bit on that one. So I'm not a hater, but got you about that one.
It's a great film, man.
I think if you're having to judge off the badassness of all the Friday the 13th franchise cover arts, it falls down between either Part 9 or Part 4.
Yeah, and you know what? Maybe that's a discussion we'll have for another show, because there was so much good shit back in the 80s, good advertisement stuff. You know, that's content in itself. A little contest over it.
Absolutely.
So, Ben, you obviously have the Friday the 13th Network, the YouTube channel. Over 18,000 subscribers, I believe, at this point. Maybe you're up into 19. I haven't looked in a few days. And currently the YouTube network, there's a lot of good shit on there. Ben does a 13 on 13. I'll let him talk about that. And, but yeah, just talk a little bit about the channel and talk about some of the stuff that you got going on.
All right. Well, I run the Friday 13th Network. It's a Friday 13th based YouTube channel. It's all Jason all day. Kind of specialize in news updates. We have a top 13 countdowns, fan theory videos, try to do a little animation. Just keep Friday 13th out there while we're waiting for another movie. I know the video game was huge. We talk about that a lot. We do a lot of, you know, playthroughs, gameplay footage and whatnot. But it really just kind of started as really just kind of a personal thing for me. I know there's like so many Friday videos out there, and I just tried to kind of put them all in one spot in a big playlist. And just kind of a lot of people started watching it, leaving comments, and so we started kind of trying to get more into original, you know, content or original videos. So we're trying to expand, go to conventions, talk to the fans, and really try to get out there and just show Friday 13th some love.
Hell yeah. And I can say that I've witnessed at least 2, maybe more times where Ben was actually, we'd be walking through a convention and people would stop him and be like, "Hey, you're the guy from Friday the 13th Network." I've seen it happen. Stephen Wilkie, moderator of Club Voorhees, actually did it in Columbus. So he does have a pretty good following out there. Ben's a camera guy and likes to do the editing. A bit about some of your camera work that you've done over the last year.
Well, I never really thought of myself much as a cameraman, but I was given the opportunity by Ari Lehman, who, of course, played the first Jason Voorhees in Friday the 13th. Big fan of him and his band. And I was given the opportunity to kind of film him during a live performance, and that really kind of, I don't know, inspired me, set me off in a new direction, and really took my YouTube channel to another level. But my recent projects, I actually just finished up his music video to be a monster for his band First Jason, as well as an unofficial video for his song When the Clock Strikes 13. I'm also kind of doing a little editing for a kind of a smaller horror convention here locally, trying to help them out. And trying to honestly put together a little short film of my own. So really just anything horror related, I'll put a camera on it. I don't care.
Yeah, and we'll talk a little bit more about some what people can expect. But yeah, I mean, I was involved in To Be a Monster and When the Clock Strikes 13, and which I directed and Ben shot. If anybody wants to check out those music videos, you can check them out at firstjason.com. I think they're both on there. And Ben's YouTube channel, of course, watch them all the time with it. It was definitely it's been a learning experience. I've done three now. So each of them have been a little bit different, but yeah, you know, there's a lot that's going to be coming up. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but yeah, check out Friday the 13th Network, and you might see us at a convention somewhere where you'll hear shortly, when we talk about upcoming projects, but you might see Ben and I out about, we're going to be doing some spotlights and some other interviews and stuff, but, yeah, check out Friday the 13th Network and, you know, show some support, subscribe, give it some shares. So other than that, what do you got? Do you have anything else lined up for the beginning part of this year or anything later on?
Not really anything different than normal. I am working on a new series for my channel, Killer Comparisons, where we're going to take famous horror franchises and put them against our favorite, Friday the 13th. So kind of do some killer comparisons, you know, Freddy and Jason, of course. But I want to do a little of the lesser-known slasher films compared to Jason. And I believe I'm gearing up for, I believe, another music video here in the future as well. So that's kind of what my future is looking like.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I know what video you're talking about. And of course, we can't say anything about it at this point in time, but definitely when we're able to talk about it, we will have some of the people on associated with it and talk about it, because it's definitely a cool idea. It is horror related, and there's a great idea there that's not often touched on, but I do hear people talk about the concept. So definitely be on the lookout for that. We will discuss that as soon as the green light is given. So, but yeah, if you want to check out, Ben just also recently posted a video to his Friday the 13th Network, his YouTube channel. I got to hang out with Ben and Eddie Machete from First Jason, and his brother Bobby Hodgson, who does the First Jason necklaces. We all hung out New Year's Eve, had some drinks. Ben did a little video segment, I don't know, maybe 20, 25 minutes or so of us just sitting around talking about mainly the highlights of Friday the 13th for 2017, since we had a bunch of Friday people together. But if you want to check that out, go to Friday the 13th Network YouTube. And yeah, I mean, I let you guys talk. Obviously, I had to talk quite a bit there in the beginning to get the rundown on basically how everything got going. So, but for me, I was born in 82, and I had a young mom, and she, of course, had a younger sister. And I remember in the mid 80s, you know, maybe as a four-year-old, and my aunt would chase me up and down the hall holding her hand, you know, with a like a Freddy Krueger claw, and used to torment me. So I was always scared shitless of Freddy Krueger as a kid. And then I got a little bit older, and I'm like, damn it, I'm going to watch these videos and see why I've been so scared. And then I was like, oh my God, this is awesome. So Freddy Krueger was my first love, basically. And then, of course, that transitioned into other films. As you guys mentioned, going into your local video stores in the mid 80s and seeing all the cool advertisements and all the cool VHS stuff that they had back then. Of course, nothing like it is today. That got my interest in other films. So, of course, I started branching out and watching all the other horror films. 80 slashers are my favorite. I do love some of the new stuff too. But yeah, Freddy Krueger, obviously Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, Halloween, that's what got me into the genre. And then of course that carries into adulthood, and it's like you start going to work and making money, and you see, oh, I can buy Jason shirts, Freddy shirts, all this memorabilia, not just posters and stuff like that, but nowadays you can get just about anything. You can get Jason mask ice cube trays, you can get figures of everything. I mean, get on Etsy, get on eBay, you can get just about whatever you want. So of course, buying shirts, buying collectibles. I mean, my whole house is like a horror shrine, mostly, like I said, with the Friday, the Freddy and the Michael stuff. But And then finding out that there's actually conventions that you can go to, and it's like, holy shit, I can meet Robert Englund. So I, of course, have done that numerous times, been to countless conventions over the years and collecting autographs and all the things that you guys see at conventions that I'm sure you guys also probably collect too, or some other stuff anyway. And then being at conventions so often, I mean, sometimes, you know, a dozen a year, you see some of the same people over and over. So like, for example, Ari Lehman, that's how I got connected with the band First Jason. I had been to numerous shows. I was going to actually be in one of Ari's videos, and Ari's, I couldn't make it. And Ari's like, well, I'm going to do another one. This was several years ago. And he asked me to be Jason in the Heed My Warning video. And then I've been Jason in two other videos since, which you can find a fan video on Ben's YouTube channel for When the Clock Strikes 13 that was just posted this past fall. So go ahead and check that out if you want some classic Friday stuff, a campfire scene where Jason starts hacking people. But anyways, that led to my connection with Ari. So, and then of course, traveling around with the band and wearing the costume while the band's on stage, taking pictures of the people and stuff. We travel around for that. And you hit, we hit a lot of mini conventions, just whatever I can. So that of course led to other connections. And if you watch Never Hike Alone, you'll see my name in the credits on there. The Friday the 13th Part 3 Memoriam documentary, you'll see my name in the credits on there. I'm going to be doing some consulting work for the upcoming Jason Goes to Hell documentary, which I'm sure some of you people have seen or heard about primarily through social media. They've been doing some promoting for that. Mainly Friday stuff, because that's what Return to Camp Blood is, you know, is a Friday the 13th, strictly all Friday podcast. But that's how I got hooked up there too. There was another connection. I was asked to do an interview with my involvement with First Jason. And then a couple months later, they asked me to be a co-host because of all my Friday connections. And then later on, I got the show, transferred over. I'm now the owner and producer and main host. So it's crazy how all these connections get made. So, like I said, with that, it's like, why not do a general horror show? So, because there's just so much we can cover, this is really going to open up the gates. So now that this introductory episode is done, we've kind of introduced ourselves and who we are. And now we can open the gates and bring you some good stuff. There's a lot of good content coming up. But just to give you an idea of what you can expect to hear, of course, celebrity interviews, you know, actor, director, FX people interviews, people that are just involved with the films in general. And there's so many horror films out there that it's an endless amount of people that we could have on as far as that goes. I also want to do community spotlights where we highlight the independent mask makers, prop makers for example, the people that you see at conventions who are cosplaying, say Michael Myers or, you know, whoever, the people that do that independently. Definitely want to bring them into the spotlight and help promote them as well. A lot of great artists out there. We'll of course be doing movie reviews or general thoughts or discussions on new and old stuff. Whether that be, you know, something specific or just a general mashup, just our general thoughts. Be seeing a lot of those since there's so many films out there, and just whatever the hell we want to talk about that's horror related. Like I said, there's so much stuff out there right now, especially in the independent side. There's so many artists, not just that make props, but also that do artwork and things of that nature. I mean, get on Etsy and eBay. You can practically get whatever you want that's horror related now. I mean, hell, I have Jason Mask ice cube trays. I mean, you can pretty much get whatever you want. So we're going to bring a lot of content. It's going to be all over the place since the genre is so wide open. So, but yeah, that pretty much gives a rundown of us and what you can expect. Check us out on Facebook. It's at Death Curse Radio. It's a pretty new page. If you can give us some likes and some shares, we definitely appreciate it. We'll definitely be posting the episodes to the Facebook page along with other updates and information. Or you can go to deathcurseradio.com and listen to episodes that way. And spread the word to your horror friends. Like I said, we'll be taking suggestions too. If you want to send in a message to the Facebook page and make a request of something you want us to talk about or something you want to hear about, we're definitely going to be taking suggestions. And look out for us at other conventions too. And if you're a fan and you want to come holler at us, maybe we'll do a feature on you for the YouTube channel that's coming up. So lots of good stuff coming up here for 2018. Now that we got the ball rolling, I just appreciate my squad here and their time and putting this all together and making this happen. It's been a little while now getting things off the ground, but we're ready to rock and roll and bring you some new content. So spread the word, give us some likes and some shares. We definitely appreciate it. But that wraps up the first episode of Death Curse Radio. Check us out at deathcurseradio.com and please like, share, rate, and review wherever you listen to the show at. It's much appreciated. Until next time.
Evil lurks in the mind of a bad man.
This is the end, friend.
And your suffering will be legendary even in hell. From the prime time, bitch.
I am the devil, and I am here to do the devil's work.
Candyman.
Eternal.
Because I've seen enough horror movies to know any weirdo wearing a mask is never friendly.
That is better.
I guess everyone's entitled to one good scare, huh?
Some things have a strange idea entertainment.